Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the Seed to Seed message for April 2017.
Grace and peace to you from Glenpool, Oklahoma. I've mentioned before how strongly I believe in the significance of Paul's greeting to his letter, speaking grace on the people, and many times he added peace, and I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to add peace this month. Grace and peace to you. Well, I'm doing this introduction early in the month, and I don't know when we'll be sending out the Seed to Seed, but it'll probably go up on our website earlier. But Bev and I are about to go out of town. Our two Sheesby grandchildren in Colorado Springs, Braden and Emma, are going to be baptized on Sunday. And so we're going to go up to be there for that great occasion. And we're also going to be celebrating Braden and Landon, his cousins' birthdays. And the whole family will be gathering at Great Wolf Lodge in Colorado Springs. So we're in for a good time with the family. So I'm doing this introduction early in this month. This message this month is the second of the three that I preached from John chapter 1 in Grace Covenant Worship Center in Hogansville. And as I've been editing it this morning, I know as I preached it, I was tremendously moved emotionally, because I felt so profoundly the sense of grief that I feel when I think of how many Christians have embraced lack in their lives, simply because they haven't believed the truth of the gospel. And it starts with them not believing that they are righteous, in right standing with God. And therefore the enemy focuses them on their failures, their weaknesses, their foibles, and the areas where they still battle with besetting sin. And as a result of that, they don't feel complete, and they feel in lack. And that grieves me so deeply. So I trust that you're going to be impacted by the message this month on fullness. Of his fullness have we all received, and grace upon grace. And next month we'll look at the third message, grace upon grace. So I know that this message is going to stir you profoundly. And I trust that it answers some of the questions in your hearts, and that as we come to the end prayer, that you will just receive your inheritance. Of his fullness have we all received. All you can do to get fullness is receive it, because it's already given. So be blessed as you listen. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then I'm going to recap a little bit from last night. Otherwise, those who weren't here last night won't get the drift of where we're going this morning. If you have your Bibles, or you can follow on the screen, John 1 and verse 14, we're going to read, and then a verse in John 6. John 1 and verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then verse 15 is a parenthesis about John, who's been introduced early in the chapter. And so you continue in verse 16, "And of his fullness," he was full of grace and truth, "and of his fullness have the mature received, have the holy received, have the consecrated and dedicated received, have those who get their act together received. And of his fullness have we
all."
That means every single one of you in this building this morning have the fullness of Jesus within you.
"Well, Brother John, I don't feel it."
I don't care what you feel. Your feelings will never change if you rely on your feelings as the barometer of truth.
But your feelings will come into line with the truth when you start to believe what the Word of God says. Now, why do we have such a problem believing that? Why do we have such a problem receiving that? Look at John chapter 6. Let's read another verse that just compounds what he has said. John chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." You know, in the days when of revival back in the 90s, there was a tremendous emphasis on spiritual hunger. You got to get hungry. You got to get hungry. You got to be hungry. Well, Jesus said, if you come to me, you'll never hunger. So, which is right? Religion or Jesus? See, who are we going to believe? And here's the big issue. The issue is a belief problem. Norman Grubb, the son-in-law of C.T. Studd, who was a wonderful missionary pioneer, Norman Grubb spent his last years in Columbus, Georgia, and Dudley Hall, he was ministering there, and Norman Grubb was about to die. And so Dudley wanted to spend some time with him and just hear his heart. And so he kept asking all the current theological questions. And Norman Grubb's answer to every one of his questions was, "According to your faith, be it unto you." You get what you believe. If you believe for perpetual warfare, your life will be in perpetual warfare. If you believe in a perpetual struggle with sin, you'll have a perpetual struggle with sin. But if you believe in the victory of Calvary, you'll walk in the victory of Calvary. If you believe the promise of Jesus relating to fullness, you'll walk in fullness. If you believe that Jesus said, you'll never hunger, guess what? You'll never hunger. If you believe that Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll never thirst, you'll never thirst. We've got a belief problem. What is the root of the belief problem? It's what I preached about last night. Last night I was preaching on this verse, and he goes on to say this: the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And then he says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. And the word revealed or declared there is the word exegeted. And the word exegesis was used by the rabbinical schools for their interpretation of the law. They would dig into the law. They would interpret the law. You'll remember how Ezra did it. They set up a platform. And Ezra stood on that platform with the elders around him. And he exegeted the law to the children of Israel, helping them to interpret. And John brushes that aside and says, the law was given through Moses. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In other words, as I said last night, any picture of God that you have that predates the revelation of God in Jesus and the exegesis of God in Jesus is a wrong picture of God. And the tragedy is that most of us still have a picture of a God who's sitting in the seat of Moses. A seat of judgment, scanning the world and seeing everything that's wrong with everybody. And so our idea of God is of this judge. And the problem is, if God is a judge, then there are requirements of you. And if you don't fulfill those requirements, you're in trouble. And so the average Christian has embraced a erroneous concept of their spiritual journey of making strides. And when you make those strides, you get rewarded. And so, in other words, you're continually on the spiritual quest of trying to get somewhere. Ultimately, you have to say, the goal is perfection. The problem with that is that Jesus says in John's Gospel, he didn't come to give us perfection. He came to give us life. And life more abundantly. And here's the most amazing thing. The word that he uses above everything else in John's gospel is the word give. As many as received him, to them he gave the authority. It's a gift. Everything that God has given to us in Jesus is a gift. And if you're waiting for it as a reward, it is impossible to give you as a reward what already belongs to you as a gift. There are so many Christians who are waiting for God to heal them as a reward for their long praying, storming the gates of heaven, getting all the intercessors on their faces to believe for healing. What are you doing that for? Your healing is a gift. It's yours already. Receive it. We're acting like Jesus never came, that we're living in the age of deficit and lack, and we're waiting for somehow for God to intervene again. He's already intervened and he never quit. The Spirit is here. Jesus came. He said, the bridegroom is here. You can't fast while the bridegroom is with you. Quit making prayers and fasting. You're in the presence of the bridegroom. And he's come that you might live in that fullness of his presence and of his blessing. And in contrast to the seat of Moses, Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 2, we looked at last night, the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. And where was Jesus? The picture of Jesus, the most common picture of Jesus, every time you look at Jesus, he's either going or coming to a meal or at a meal. That's why the Pharisees called him a glutton and a wine bibber. Why? Because he was always reclining at meals with tax collectors and sinners. You see, folk, rather than a God who sits on a throne and who's angry with sinners, we have a God who came to earth and eats with sinners. And so he's not waiting for you to get your act together to have fellowship with you. He wants to fellowship with you just where you are, just as you are. And for you to enjoy the fullness of his presence and the fullness of the life that he's come to bring us. Why are we postponing living in that fullness? Why are we postponing? Because we feel so bad about ourselves. And it comes back to the fact that we haven't believed the truth of the gospel. Amen. That when we believed in Jesus, he made us 100% righteous. 100% righteous. You cannot be any more righteous than you are the moment you believed in Jesus, because you're in right standing with the Father. We're just so conscious of all the stuff that's wrong with us. And he's unoffended by that. Jesus was not offended by the brokenness of man and the sinfulness of man. He hung out with the tax collectors and the sinners. The dregs of society was where Jesus found his reclining place. Not sitting in the seat of Moses, reclining at meals with broken people. Guess what? We all qualify. He was exegeting the Father. The Father, the picture of God that comes to us through the law of Moses, is not a true presentation of God. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you want to get to the Father, you're going to have to go through me and the revelation that I give of who the Father is. You won't get to the Father through the curtains of the tabernacle into the Holy of Holies. They were split. When Jesus died on the cross, they were split. And according to Hebrews chapter 10, we live in the holiest of all. We have confidence to enter into the holiest of all. Not through our praise and worship, or not through our praying on anything that we bring, but through the blood of Jesus, we have entrance into the holiest of all. And in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Well, Brother John, why am I not living? According to your faith. You're living exactly in what you believed about God. You're enjoying exactly what you believed about God. If you feel cut off, if you feel alone, if you feel remote, if you're feeling lack inside, you've believed a lie about God. Then this morning I pray by the Holy Spirit something will happen profoundly within you that you'll begin to believe the truth. Look at John chapter 4. It's a wonderful story. Remember I told you last night that John wrote this gospel right at the end of the first century. So Jesus was long gone. Most of the other apostles were probably all long gone. John was living in Ephesus. And he wrote the gospel. And he didn't do a chronological recording of the life of Jesus. He had a different purpose. He said, I've written these signs that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. So John was very particular and very definite in what he included in this. And he wanted us to understand that even the worst person in society, even the prostitute who's had so many husbands that she can't draw water, the other woman at the well in the early part of the day, she's got to come in the middle of the day because no other woman wants to have anything to do with her because she's stolen 5 husbands. Not only that, she's a Samaritan. She's a half-breed. And the half-breeds were despised. And Jesus says to this woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, give me to drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water to drink. And He says the water that I will give you will become a well of water springing up to life eternal. I'm telling you, don't ever disqualify yourself, because if a broken woman at the well of Samaria, who wasn't even a Jew, she was a Samaritan, she was a half-breed, she was a reject, Jesus said, if you knew me, and if you knew the gift, if you knew the nature of God as a giver, if you only knew, you would have asked, and I would have given you living water to drink. Man, is that cool? Yes. I don't care who you are. You're not disqualified, because if that Samaritan woman qualified, and so impacted was she that she went into the town and she said, come and see someone who told me everything that I've ever done. Well, how would you like it if someone told you everything that you ever did? But you know what? She felt covered.
Yeah, she did.
Embraced. Accepted. So she could go fearlessly into the village and say, come. Come see a man who told me everything that I've ever done. Well, we know what you've done, and surely you shouldn't be so brazen about it. But you see, she felt, she knew that Jesus had just covered it. Oh, oh, oh man, if you knew, if you knew, if you knew, if you knew my daddy, if you knew Jesus, if you knew the giver, if you knew the gift, you would ask Him and He would give you living water to drink. There's no reason for you as a child of God to spend one day feeling dry. Not one day. Not one day. Don't go back to the wilderness wanderings of Israel and think, well, I'm just going through a wilderness. There's nothing in the new covenant that says you have to experience a wilderness wandering. The bridegroom is with you. Yes. And He said, you'll never thirst again. Yes. What are you going to believe? Wilderness or truth? Yes. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about grace. He said, word became flesh and dwelt us, and we have beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness have we received grace upon grace. I love the word grace. Oh man, I tell you, people have tried to take that word and put it into the dirt of scandalizing the word, calling it greasy grace. Don't ever call it greasy grace. It cost Jesus everything, but it's freely available. Freely available to us. Its grace is so wonderful. And here is Jesus saying, I'm so glad that the first miracle that he performed, that John records, his first sign was at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. He spent 40 days in the wilderness. And afterwards, the Bible says he was hungry. And angels came to minister to him. But if you had spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting, where would you know that you could get good food? Jesus goes to a wedding. Wow, there's great food there. And they ran out of wine. And what does he do? There's no censure. There's no rebuke. There's no, look at you people, you're all half drunk. 140 gallons of water he turns into the very best wine. That's my God. That's my Father. That's the God who Jesus exegeted. He showed us in his very first miracle, my Father is a Father who is a Father of abundance, and he doesn't rebuke you. Remember what James says? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. You know what upbraid mean? It's when your child comes and says, I need a new pencil. You say, what did you do with the other one? I gave you 5 pencils last week. What have you done with them? That's upbraiding. God never upbraids. Yeah. When you come and say, I'm thirsty and I need a drink. He doesn't say, well, you shouldn't be leaking. He doesn't upbraid. He's the Father of lights with whom there is no shadow caused by turning, James says. He's always exactly the same. And if you lack anything, if you lack wisdom, you can come to him and you can ask. And he gives to all men liberally. But James says, don't be wavering in your faith. Don't say, Lord, I need wisdom. And then think, well, I'm not very smart. Well, I don't, you know, he's not going to give it to me. Don't be wavering in your faith, he says. And what is going to stop you wavering in your faith? The true revelation of the Father. I'm passionate about the church receiving the restored picture of the Father, because everything else flows out of that. His gifts are not a reward for your diligent obedience. They're gifts of his grace that are received because of what Jesus has done. I'm just going to kill a sacred cow, if I may. I find it so tragic. This is the only church that Bev and I come to minister. You know why? No other pastors want me. You know why? Because I've preached against the tithe. And it's a sacred cow in the church. Because pastors are scared that if they stop the tithing, people won't give. And the church will sink. It's a good idea, exactly, brother. If God can't sustain it, then let it sink. But here's the problem. If you believe that there are certain blessings that are only yours if you give a percentage of your income to God, then immediately you have cast doubt on the veracity of what Jesus taught about the gift of God. Because if there's certain things that cost you, then where does it end? It's either grace or it ain't grace. It's either grace or it's by works. If there's one work that is required, then it's salvation by works and not by grace alone. And we've got to fight for this purity of the gospel. And the reason is, there shouldn't be one hungry Christian in this building this morning. You should have all come in here full and satisfied and aware of your inheritance in Jesus, because you are his child and you have received his gift, and his gift is eternal life. And in that eternal life is never hunger, never thirst, If you knew the gift of God, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water to drink. Thank God for living water. Wow. Wow. His, not just purpose for you, as though it is something in the distant future. Well, His gift to you is fullness. Of His fullness. Fullness have we all received. Now, I understand that many of us have emotional wounds. We've been hurt. We've been damaged. But I want to say this as graciously and as kindly as I can. There is no need for you to live in that place.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no need for you to drag around the past and let it be the enemy of the fullness that is your inheritance. Do you understand that? And yet so many of us don't feel full. We feel this emptiness. And so we're trying to fill that lack. One of the most poignant pictures of the Word of God is God speaking through Jeremiah in chapter 2. And He says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken Me, the fountain of living water, and hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now, a cistern is a water receptacle that is carved out of a rock. So look at the picture. Here's a fountain. Bubbling, 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 living water. Quench everybody's thirst. Nobody needs thirsty. And here's somebody over here with a rock. And he's busy with a chisel and a hammer. And he's chipping away at that rock. What are you doing? Well, I want to get a receptacle so that when the next rain comes, I can catch some rainwater. But you know what happens, the Bible says? It's a broken cistern. So he gets ready. It's just about at the end and the whole thing cracks. And all the time, bubble, 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 over here. The fountain of living water keeps on bubbling. And he goes and finds himself another rock and gets his chisel and gets his hammer. And he starts working away on another rock, desperately trying to get a receptacle to catch some rainwater. That's the picture that God uses to describe Israel. I want to tell you, it's a picture that is appropriate to many Christians. Because we don't know that that fountain is ours.
Amen.
It's our inheritance. It's His gift to us. And so we're looking in this place and that place, trying to satisfy, and we're running to this conference, and we're going after this thing to try and satisfy. Instead of just old hymn that I used to sing. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters fail. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. Chorus. Now none but Christ can satisfy. No other way for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee.
Amen.
That's it. The gospel is the water's bubbling, the living water, and you don't have to qualify for it. You don't have to even repent. In the old traditional sense of repenting, forsaking your sins and so on. Repentance means that you change your mind. You change your mind that never again am I going to try and satisfy what Jesus has already satisfied by whittling away at a rock to try and make a cistern to contain a little bit of water that's going to break the moment I get ready. He's good. We sang it. He's good. He's good. The gospel is good news because it comes from a good God.
Amen.
Through Jesus, His Son, who Peter said He went about doing good. Why was He doing good? Because He was expressing, He was exegeting the Father to us. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you this morning that satisfaction is not a distant thing after we get everything right in our lives. But satisfaction and saturation is ours now, our inheritance. I bless you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me say, just as we bowed in prayer, according to your faith be it unto you. And so if your belief system has limited you to believe that everything is a reward when you finally get it all right, then God wants to change that belief system through the revelation of Himself and bring you to that place where you understand you are His child. And as His child, His blessings, His gifts are your inheritance. And so this morning, just receive. 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 What do you do with a gift? You just receive it. We receive fullness today. We receive spiritual saturation and satisfaction today. We receive no more hunger today. We receive no more thirst, no more wilderness. Thank you, Jesus. You went to the cross, we get the crown. You fought the battle, we get the victory.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We receive our inheritance. We receive.
This is the conclusion of this message. You've been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you. Thank you for listening.